This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more.
This episode of Harry Potter and the Boys is brought to you by my Patreon. Patreon.com/Radio Mike. For as little as a dollar a month, you get a behind the scenes podcast and much more. That's patreon.com/Radio Mike. Sign up now.
50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Hello, Hamoras, everyone. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a fan fiction podcast by me, Radio Mike. First of all, Happy New Year to everyone. Hope you had a really happy Christmas and Happy New Year and had some fun over the New Year and everything like that. This today is a bonus episode, and book two of Harry Potter and the Boys will be coming later this month. I've already recorded the first episode, and one bit of news for people is that Sammy Garlep, friend of the show, who I believe had the most guest appearances on the show in season one, he will be on the first either 3 to 5 episodes of season two, because I'm going back to work full time on the TV show project I mentioned, which makes it really hard to book in new guests and find appropriate times to record. Sammy is also going to be working on that TV show, so we're going to be sort of working together a bit, so he's agreed to jump on board, and I always love the episodes with Sammy, so I think it's going to be awesome. The first episode was awesome. So yeah, but today, really, what we're here to talk about is the best way that I started off 2022, which was by watching the Harry Potter Return to Hogwarts 20-year reunion special, which is obviously the 20-year reunion of Harry Potter, the film franchise, of course. The books have been around for a bit longer. And in this little bonus podcast, I wanted to give my full thoughts and impressions and et cetera on this and what I thought and everything like that. I have also put this up on my YouTube channel, Radio Mike, as an audio, as a video version. So if you did want to watch that, definitely go check out and subscribe to Radio Mike on YouTube. Okay, so I'm just going to do like a random kind of thought dump here because I'm not like 100% sure of where to start with all this. But I want to just preface this by saying that the Harry Potter 20-year reunion was genuinely, genuinely amazing. This could have been crap, but I feel like it had the right attention to detail, the right care, the right people there. And I really enjoyed it like the whole way through. I thought it was structured very well and I thought it was fantastic. And I also thought it was the right time to do this because a lot of these actors in their Harry Potter roles, like, haven't talked about Harry Potter for a very long time. And, you know, it's 20 years since the first Harry Potter movie came out in 2001, but it's also 10 years since the last Harry Potter movie came out in 2011. So it does feel like a really good time to revisit this. 10 years since it ended, 20 years since it started, and it really delivered. There was just so much care given to all of this. And all of the people you would expect to be there are there, of course. Daniel Radcliffe, Rupert Grint, and Emma Watson are the main three that appear. But one thing I really enjoyed about this was it's kind of structured in into the movies. Like, it's structured from movies 1 and 2, movie 3, movie 4, movies 5 and 6, movies 7 and 8, essentially. And one thing I really liked about it is each director played a big role in this. So Christopher Columbus is there talking about bringing the world to life initially in the first two movies. Then you have Alfonso Cuarón, who many regard as like the best kind of auteur behind Harry Potter, being one of the strongest directors who created
a very artistic movie with Prisoner of Azkaban. Then Mike Newell, who did the fourth one, and then David Yates, who did the last four movies. I think it was really great hearing from all of them, their thoughts, their, I guess their ideas behind the decisions they made with the films. Like, there's definitely, especially in adulthood, well, I mean, even in childhood, you could see that there was such a big difference between movies one and two, movie three, movie four, stylistically, aesthetically, you know, visually, like everything about these movies felt different. One and two have a very distinct feel about them. Number three has a very distinct feel. Four has a distinct feel. And then honestly, the last four movies do feel very similar in how they're shot, how they're done. And of course, they all had the exact same director, so it definitely makes sense. As well as the core three characters, you have a bunch of other characters, such as Tom Felton, who's Malfoy. Many of the adult actors, Robbie Coltrane, aka Hagrid, pops up several times. You have, and I think orchestrating all of this and getting people, it was clear that, like, you know, they must have pulled a lot of strings to get Emma, Daniel, and Rupert all in the same room. Daniel Radcliffe is in a lot. He's interacting with lots of different cast members. He sits down with Helena Bonham Carter, Gary Oldman. I don't think he talks to Robbie Coltrane. Like, again, it must have been hard to get everyone into one room. So some people, it's clear, they're just sitting in some kind of studio recording in front of a set that's been set up for them because they couldn't get to where everyone else was shooting. But yeah, it was great seeing Daniel Radcliffe being so interested in it and being so, like, open to doing it, because I did feel like, back in 2011, when Harry Potter was wrapping up and the years to follow, he seemed to be very over the role. Like, he didn't really want to talk about Harry Potter, which is completely fair. I completely get that. But yeah, he did want to just move on from it. So it's great that he was willing to come back and he was happy to come back and do this. And revisiting all of this as someone who is a big fan of the franchise, I realized, like, how many parts of these movies I'd just forgotten. Like, I genuinely don't think I've watched many of the movies except for the first one in a very long time. And there were scenes where I'm like, oh yeah, I don't even remember that happening. And it made me just so nostalgic, but I think this was more than just nostalgia baiting and, you know, a cheap cash grab. I think this really was a celebration. It just felt really good to be a part of. It felt really good to watch. It felt great. Everyone seemed to reflect on their experience with Harry Potter so positively as well. Like, there was no one talking negatively about any of their experiences. I guess, why would they? But, you know, it was just so good to see everyone reminiscing and nostalgic. And I was tearing up for a lot of this because, and I generally don't tear up much. I found recently I'm tearing up at stuff a lot more than I ever used to. Maybe that's just coming with age. But yeah, it was just this, like, realization of how important this series is to me, was to me, continues to be to me. And, like, seeing all of these actors and actresses, like Bonnie Wright, James and Oliver Phelps, who are the Weasley twins, like, it was just amazing. Seeing flashbacks to some really touching moments of the series as well. You know, Matthew Lewis is there, he's Neville. I guess there was a bit of like Alfred Enoch was there. He played Dean Thomas throughout the whole series. And I wouldn't say that Dean Thomas ever was, like, a particularly big character in the movies. Like, he didn't really have many lines. He was just there the whole time. But I guess Alfie Enoch has become, like, very famous on his own right. Like, he's been in a bunch of TV shows and stuff, like, as main roles. So his acting career has really taken off since Potter, probably the most of any of the actors post-Potter, and I think that's great for him. So I guess that's why he was there, but you don't see any, like, of the other recurring Gryffindors, like, you know, Seamus Finnegan isn't there, or any of the other recurring characters that were there the whole time, like Crabbe and Goyle aren't there. But I guess, like, we don't necessarily want to hear from them, but I thought it would have been cool to maybe have, like, Harry Melling, who played Dudley Dursley. He was in The Queen's Gambit, I think. Like, he's taking off a lot. It could have been good to hear from him, but I guess he wasn't there for any of the Hogwarts stuff. He was only there for the Dursley stuff. There's also a tribute to all of the actors that have passed away, especially the major ones since Harry Potter began, I guess. So Richard Harris, who was the original actor for Dumbledore. Interestingly, the modern Dumbledore doesn't make an appearance, like the second Dumbledore, who is it Michael Gambon, I think, plays him. He doesn't pop up, which I thought he would have been an important one to be there. He was a big part of all of those films, but he didn't pop up. But yeah, Richard Harris gets a tribute. God, this is going to look bad because I can't remember his name, unfortunately, but the actor who plays Uncle Vernon, who's passed away as well. The actress who played, I think it's Helen McCrory. I could be wrong. Again, my apologies. But she played Malfoy's mum in the last few. I didn't even realize that she passed away. That's really, really sad as well. And several others, of course, Alan Rickman passed away. It would have been fantastic to hear from Alan Rickman in this, but of course that wasn't possible. And yeah, it's really sad to see all of these fantastic actors who have passed away since their time on Harry Potter. I think it was interesting to hear, you know, someone like Daniel Radcliffe, or all three of the main trio, reflecting on the fact that they, especially when they started, they weren't aware of, like, the caliber of actors they were surrounded by. And it is such a testament to the Harry Potter franchise that so many really well-regarded actors were willing to sign up for it and continue on it for the whole time that they were doing it. I mean, people like Alan Rickman and Gary Oldman and Michael Gambon and all of these really, really big actors, Helena Bonham Carter, like all of these people that were part of Potter, and they all pop up and they all love their time on Harry Potter. I think that's amazing. Like, I think it's awesome to see, you know, the main trio realizing, wow, we were so lucky to be able to work with these people, and hearing them reflect on meeting each other for the first time, auditions, different things like that, I found amazing. The fact that, like, they were trialing, Daniel Radcliffe mentions they were trialing different people as Harry Potter with Rupert and Emma Watson, and that Rupert and Emma Watson were, like, very easy to cast, whereas Harry Potter was very difficult to cast, I found very interesting as well. Of course, there's been this big thing about how J.K. Rowling was snubbed from the reunion. She doesn't appear in any current footage. She only appears very briefly in archival footage from 2019, but I don't think that's a huge deal. I don't even think it was an intentional thing to leave her out of it. This is very much a movie-focused thing. She is mentioned many times by many of the actors and producing staff, like Christopher Columbus mentions her a bit. So I don't think it was an intentional, like, let's not get J.K. Rowling involved for political reasons. That being said, I guess it is interesting that she was there with archival footage. Like, I do find that kind of interesting. There's a lot of cool behind-the-scenes stuff in this that I've never really seen before, and as well as that, there's really great insights on interesting scenes. For example, one of, like, the most, I remember, like, controversial scenes in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is the scene where Ron leaves and Harry dances with Hermione to the song Oh Children by Nick Cave, which was a really interesting scene because I guess it didn't necessarily fit with, like, what Harry Potter was, but, like, retrospectively, and you hear this from Emma Watson in the movie as well, she says it's one of her favorite scenes in the whole thing because it just, like, showed how human this situation was, and it just was such a suitable scene for what was happening in the movie. And I kind of agree retrospectively, whereas at the time I was like, why are they doing this? Why are they using, like, a real world song that's got to be the only real song they use, like a soundtrack song they've ever used in Harry Potter? And I found that super weird at the time, but looking back, I really want to rewatch Deathly Hallows Part 1. Like, I think that's one that I don't think I've seen many times. As well as that, Emma Watson and Rupert Grint and Daniel Radcliffe talk a lot about their kiss, Emma and Rupert's kiss, the big kiss in the end of Deathly Hallows Part 2. And I actually think the way they put it, I think it was the producer, David Heyman, who talks about this, and he says, like, and I completely agree with it. And there's things that, like, I look back now and I didn't really realize as a kid, but I look back now as, like, moments in films. And, like, he basically says that everyone has been waiting and wanting these two people to kiss or to have a romantic interaction for literally 10 years at this point. And there's so many hints that are dropped into the movies in particular because they knew the outcome that imply that Ron and Hermione like each other and see each other as more than friends. And seeing that all build up over all this time into this, like, magnificent kiss in the Chamber of Secrets is such a, like, a huge moment, and I really appreciated the way they talked about it. I don't have too much to say that puts this at fault. Like, I genuinely felt totally engaged with it the entire time, and I loved it so much. Like, every part of it, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. One thing I should say is how good everyone looked, like how hot every single person looked. Daniel Radcliffe, whoa, he bloody looks incredible. Rupert Grint, he looks the same as he's always looked. And I always thought Rupert Grint was just such a cool dude. Like, he just seems totally unfazed by all of his celebrity. He just is just like, yeah, I'm Rupert Grint, whatever. Cool, whatever. He's so chill. He's had a baby. Like, he's a father now and he's married. Emma Watson looks beautiful as always. But, like, I actually thought Daniel Radcliffe looked the best. Like, he looks so amazing at the moment. The Phelps twins also look fantastic. They barely even look like Fred and George because their natural hair color is brown as well. Bonnie Wright as Ginny, she looks incredible at the moment. I realize, like, it's not, like, the point of this isn't to comment on how everyone looks, but I genuinely thought, I actually think Daniel Radcliffe and Bonnie Wright looked, like, incredible. Like, they both looked so hot. It was actually amazing to me. So yeah, it was great to see that. Like, it was great. It's kind of good to see that, like, especially with child stars, you see a lot that they struggle a lot in adulthood. And I'm sure that there are some of those struggles, but it does really feel like, particularly the core three Harry Potter cast members, like, do seem like relatively reasonably put together people. Like, they're not really, like, I don't know. And you don't really know, but it does seem like they're pretty put together with their lives and everything like that. Also, Helena Bonham Carter looks incredible, particularly for her age. She looks fantastic. I think what was really interesting as well towards the end, and I realize I've been rambling a bit, but I'm coming up to the end of this, but Emma Watson does talk about how towards the fifth movie, she was considering leaving the role. And I do remember this happening at the time. And she talks about how, like, celebrity just became too much for her. And she just realized that there's, like, no going back on this. And I guess when you're a kid and you sign up, you're like, yeah, I'm doing a movie. Cool. You don't really think about the implications of being a famous person in one of the biggest film franchises in the world. And this was such a unique film franchise in that it primarily kept the same cast for 10 years. Like, I don't think there's any film franchise that has had particularly children grow up during the filming process over this long. And she speaks about, and Rupert actually is quite insightful, and he said, oh, by the time it was ending, it was really weird because I didn't know where Rupert started and Ron started. Like, I didn't know who was who. I kind of just was Ron, and all I knew was playing Ron, and that's just who I was. And I thought that was really profound because, again, like, I think it's interesting because people like me, like, ordinary people like me, I look back on, like, primary school and high school and just think about, yeah, the experiences that I had at school and the people that I was around and, like, the crushes I had and things like that. And I realized that for people like Rupert Grint and Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson, like, their childhood was predominantly being on sets with other kids their age and growing up around like, this essentially was their school environment. It definitely wasn't a normal way to grow up in any sense. And I think it's really fascinating to hear them reflect on that, and I would love to hear them reflect on it more. I guess my only criticism is that I wish there were more, like, I wish it was longer. Like, this is kind of like the Beatles documentary for hardcore Beatles, the Get Back docuseries that's 2.5 hours long, three episodes that are 2.5 hours long. For me, I love the Beatles, I love their music, but it's hard for me to, like, sit there for 7.5 hours and watch that. But for me, like, if there was something like that for Harry Potter, I would be totally into it. And the fact that, like, this could have been another hour and I would have loved it. I would have loved to hear from a bunch of other people who weren't in it, but I realize that's difficult and becomes expensive, but, you know, from a business standpoint. But I would have loved to hear from, you know, people like Ian Hart, who played Professor Quirrell, Kenneth Branagh, who played Gilderoy Lockhart. You hear from Jason Isaacs, who's Lucius. You do hear from a lot of people, but I just would have loved to hear from, you know, David Thewlis, who played Lupin, and Timothy Spall, who played Peter Pettigrew. Just hearing them and their insights on their characters and their insights on their time with the franchise would have been awesome as well. But other than that, I can't really fault this.
So yeah, I had such a great time with this. It felt like the perfect time for this to happen. And I'm so glad it did as well. So yeah, I had a really amazing time watching this. I thought it was genuinely perfect. So thank you so much for listening. As always, the best way to support me is Patreon, patreon.com/radiomike. And as well as that, you can subscribe to the YouTube where a video version of this is up. Thank you to everyone who has just, you know, you can give as little as $1 a month on the Patreon, and that goes a long way to supporting me. So I'd really appreciate it if you love any of my stuff. To jump on the Patreon as well as that. 20th Century Boy is my main podcast. That'll be back in a few weeks. I'm currently off just taking some holidays. But yeah, that'll be back very, very soon. Thank you so much for listening to this, guys. Oh, one more thing. On Spotify now, you can rate podcasts out of 5. So if you like Harry Potter and the Boys and would like to give it a rating, I mean, I'd obviously appreciate a 5-star rating. So yeah, if you want to do that on Spotify, if that's where you listen to that, that would be awesome. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the summer if you're in Australia. And if you're not in Australia, I guess you're in winter. So enjoy your winter. All right. Thanks, guys. See you later. This episode of Harry Potter and the Boys was brought to you by my Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you get a bonus podcast with bonus content from me and much, much more. That's patreon.com/radiomike. Sign up today. Looking forward to seeing you. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch, radiomikepod@gmail.com.